In our second reading today, we have St. Paul writing to the Thessalonians. And the best explanation I have of why Paul would even write to the Thessalonians, the best that I've heard, is that Paul knew that they had been evangelized, that is, they understood who Jesus Christ was, they understood his death and resurrection, what that meant for them personally, but they hadn't quite been catechized yet of what that means and how that extends and all the other things that approach all the other matters of faith, or many of the matters of faith. And so there's a question that rises up in the Thessalonian community: what about those who have died? What about those who have died before they had experienced Christ, if they would have been able to receive the grace of Jesus Christ? But more importantly, what about those who know Jesus Christ, love Jesus Christ, and die physically? What happens to them? Are they lost? Are they going to be lost forever? And St. Paul writes this particular passage directly to that question, that we are not like the rest of humanity as Christians, as Catholics, because we have the hope of the resurrection. Jesus Christ, in his own death and resurrection, conquers death itself. And that those who have died in Christ will be raised up, and actually raised up before us, raised before we even go to that eternal place when the Lord comes. And doesn't that give a sense of comfort to us? Doesn't that give a sense of peace that even those who have died share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? See, what St. Paul is doing is he's taking a step back and giving them an eternal perspective, seeing things from the way God sees them, because they were seeing it too human. Our human lives, we know, are limited. 100 years for those who are strong, says the psalm. Our lives are limited, so if they die, are they lost? No, St. Paul says, because God has already conquered death. And so there's hope. There's a wisdom that St. Paul is speaking about, and that, of course, comes into our readings, the first reading and the gospel reading today. The wisdom that is to be able to see as God sees, to take a step back and to see everything in light of God's grace, in light of God's wisdom, in light of God, period, to understand what it means. We have this parable of these ten virgins waiting for the bridegroom. If you remember, we've talked a little bit about bridegrooms in the past. The bridegroom would be betrothed to the bride. He would then go and prepare a home for the bride, and when everything was ready, he would come and prepare and receive the bride. And part of that customs was that, depending on when he would come, there would be virgins who would lead him into the bridal party. And so that's where we pick up today in this parable, that these virgins are there waiting, and he's delayed in coming for whatever reason, and it's midnight. And these virgins are roused from their sleep, and they have to trim their oil lamps. The oil lamps wouldn't have been very efficient, but that's all they had for the most part. It's dark, and you needed something to guide your way. And these oil lamps then need to be trimmed, and you always, they weren't very efficient. You always had to add oil to them, more oil and more oil. And the wise virgins understood that he may be delayed. Let's bring enough oil, should he be delayed, that will at least get us through the night. The foolish ones, and in the Greek we get a direct transliteration of the word that Matthew uses, and it's moron, they lacked the foresight, is what it literally means. They lacked the foresight. They lacked the ability to see ahead. And so they did not bring extra oil with them, thinking the bridegroom is going to come before midnight, everything's going to be fine. Give us some of your oil. And the wise ones say no, or else there may not be enough for us. What's going on? It's better to walk with 5 lights all the way than half the way with no lights. There's not enough oil to get them through the entire night. And so they tell the others, go and find some for yourself. The church fathers, the patristics, talk about this oil as being the virtues, and how if that's the case, that certainly makes sense, because I can't give you my virtue, you can't give me yours. We have to let virtue grow in us ourselves directly. St. Thomas More, in a letter to his daughter before his execution, wrote to his daughter saying, "Don't pin your salvation to me." And what he's saying is, I can't save you. Only Christ can. I can't give you the virtues that you need. I can't give you the faith that you need. I can't force you to love Jesus Christ. You have to find it yourself. And that's what these 5 wise virgins are trying to do. I can't give it to you. It's enough for them, but not enough for everyone. These last weeks, too, I've been talking about the virtues, talking about all the virtues that we need as stewards, humility and justice, all those good virtues. And really, when it comes down to it, the gift of stewardship needs the virtue of wisdom, because wisdom balances it all out, of being able to see where and what am I to give. How am I to give my time, talent, and treasure? Now, wisdom is the ability to step back and to see it in the light of God's eternity. Oh, there's going to be a time when Jesus comes again. We know this. We're waiting for it. And when Jesus comes again, are we going to be found as stewards who have built up in us those virtues that we need, all of those virtues we need? Or are we relying on others to provide them for us? Saying, well, it's good enough if that person has that virtue, or that person has that gift, that person has activated that quality in his or her life. Or is it an ability to look at our lives and say, I have grown in this particular virtue, or this is where I'm called to be a steward of my time, talent, and treasure? This weekend, as well as continuing stewardship, we have a special opportunity to discern, how am I called to support the diocese and the various ministries? See, individually, we can't do much. And while we're not pinning our salvation on somebody else, when we give what we can, submitting our little oil lamp, just enough light for us, maybe enough to extend to somebody else, we can do great things, as the video said, that we become one together, serving the Lord. When the bridegroom comes, when Jesus Christ comes again, will he find us wise, waiting with excess oil, knowing that the night is long, knowing that he is coming again, knowing that he calls us to have these virtues, to put them into practice in our lives, to serve him? Wisdom, as we hear in our first reading, is a fulfillment of prudence. And prudence allows us to know right judgment, right action. Let us be filled with wisdom this day to know how God is calling us to be good stewards. As soon as I got done with my homily, I realized I forgot something and I wanted to be practical and give some steps towards wisdom. So if you would indulge me for a minute. Confession, getting rid of vice in our lives, the reading scripture and reading the lives of the saints and the writings of the saints, spending time in prayer and adoration, and of course, being aware of the people around us. There's a stat that we become the average of the 5 people we spend the most time with. So making sure we're spending time with people that are wise, that will raise us up, or people that we ourselves are able to raise up in wisdom. So with that.